Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's watching us online and it's here in person. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own might, not in our own power, but your strength, your might, and your power, that you be lifted up. And we thank you today that they will not see me speaking, but they'll see you speaking through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you also, most of all, for that anointing that's present this morning, that anointing that's here, and we stir up that anointing this morning. We thank you, Father, that that anointing will saturate us and change us and set us free, Father. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're there in Europe, and we thank you for lives being changed, lives being touched, people being healed, people being set free. But we thank you also for giving them strength and rest and helping them to be able to do what you've called them to do. Father God, we thank you for everything that you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I think they're still in need of two workers to help out with the kids. So if you can, please do that if you're an approved worker. You know, sometimes it's not very fun when the kids are winning. I don't know if you've ever been in a room with a bunch of screaming kids, but it's not that fun. All right. Well, praise God. Like I said, you know, you saw the video, mom and dad, they're there in Athens, and it's been good, but, you know, they've had a pretty grueling schedule. And like I said, I think that was their first evening that they had off since they've been there. But they did two services that morning before they had the evening off. So you know, it's been pretty grueling, but they're excited now. Now, when they're in Greece, they're going to actually get to do a little more sightseeing and a look at seeing, you know, Paul's journey and the places he went, which is, it's awesome to do. If you ever get an opportunity, you know, it's awesome to see, you know, what Paul did, where Paul went. I know I was there in Corinth, and I leaned against a pillar and had someone take my pictures because I know Paul leaned against the same pillar, you know, a couple of thousand years ago. Now, I don't know if he really did or not, but nobody can say whether he did or not, so if I say he did, he probably did. You know, at least I know he was walking down the same street. Because it was like the main street. You know, it was like Main Street Corinth right there where everybody hung out. Amen. Well, today's Communion Sunday. Amen. It's the time that we remember Jesus. And so I want to actually start out by looking at our communion scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading from the New King James, starting with verse 23. And we're going to look at that as our text scripture for this morning. It says, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. We're leaning against a pole right there. Maybe not, but he was there in Corinth. All right. Or this letter actually wasn't, he wasn't in Corinth when he wrote the letter, but, you know, he wrote the letter to the people of Corinth. So the guy reading it was against a pole, okay? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So what I want to point out today is that Paul was recounting what happened there at what we call the Last Supper, and where Jesus took the bread and he took the cup, And he says, every time you do this, remember me. And that's, you know, that, so he says, remember me. So today I want to speak about remembering Jesus. Remembering Jesus. So every time we take communion, we're supposed to remember Jesus. But you know, it doesn't say every time you remember me, take communion. Because sometimes I think the only time people remember Jesus is whenever we have communion. Oh, well, except for Easter and Christmas. You know, the two most commonly, the most Christians, or most what we call marginal Christians, they come to church on Easter and Christmas. You know, because they're good Christians. Now, I understand that it's not Easter, not Christmas, and you're here. Okay, so I'm talking to the choir. But a lot of people only remember Jesus on special times of the year. And it's interesting that a lot of churches, too, they choose Easter and Christmas to take communion because they're supposed to remember Jesus. But you know what? We're supposed to remember Jesus all year long, not just on special occasions. You know, sometimes there's another time we remember Jesus, when we're going through a lot of stuff. You know, but we don't just remember Jesus whenever we're going through a bad time or we're going through a sickness or our family's having issues. We should remember him all year long. We should think about Jesus. We should remember what he's done for us. You know, but then I started thinking. Let's just put this in context when this happened, because it says right here, on the same night that he was betrayed. So this is right before that he was betrayed and taken in, you know, and then we read about all before Pilate and all that kind of stuff. This was Jesus' last opportunity to speak to his disciples. I mean, that's what it really was. And now remember that at this point in time, Jesus hadn't died. He hadn't spilled his blood. He hadn't been resurrection. See, we're taking communion after we hear all the story. I mean, when he was giving all this stuff, this hasn't even happened yet. And, you know, and it does say that we're supposed to, you know, remember his death, but he hadn't died when he's telling the disciples that. And so I think what he was trying to do is get his disciples ready that something's going to happen. But what he was really saying was, remember everything I've told you before this time. You know, don't forget about me just because I died. Now, here's the other thing about it is, his disciples were daily with Jesus. They spent time with him. Now, you realize that when this was spoken, the Last Supper, do you realize the Bible wasn't in existence? It wasn't in existence. I mean, maybe some of those guys had diaries, and that's why, and we got some of the you know, the Gospels from those diaries, but you know, the Bible wasn't in existence. So the only thing that these disciples had to hang on was remembering what Jesus said, remembering what he did, remembering how he acted. And I believe that, yes, he was talking specifically about his death, but I think he was giving his last words to his disciples. Hey, guys, remember everything that I've done, everything that I've taught you, everything that I've shown you, how I acted, how I did this, what I did, the fact that I actually took you in and mentored you. And go and do likewise. He was giving his last speech to his disciples, but sometimes, you know, we just kind of forget about Jesus. Now, we want Jesus to remember us. You know, kind of like, you know, this is before this happened, but you know, a few days later, after he spoke this, you know, he was hanging on the cross, and the thief next to him said, hey, Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. You know, and I think a lot of us relate to that thief. We're always like, hey, Jesus, remember me. Remember me, remember me, remember my problems, remember my stuff, remember what I'm going through. And thank God he does remember you. He does care about you. But Jesus is trying to tell us sometimes, hey guys, remember me. Be a little more thankful. Be a little more thankful for what I've done, you know, for you know, not only my life, but my death and what it means to you. Everything that we had was because of this table. It was because of his life, because of his death, his burial, his resurrection. And everything that we have in Jesus is because of this. It's all because of this. And I know every time, you know, I believe that every time that we take communion, we think about this, but do you think about it more often than when you take communion? Do you think about it on a daily basis? You know, maybe you need to do this because I believe you probably have bread and probably have a cup more often than communion time. And probably daily you're eating bread some point in time. You're probably having a cup of something. It might not be grape juice, but you're probably having, you know, so sometime maybe, you know, while you're there at Texas Roadhouse eating your roll, you know, when you break it apart to put the butter in, or maybe you should remember about Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, you couldn't have that hot roll. Or you couldn't have that breadstick at Olive Garden. All right? You know, on a hot day, whenever you're drinking that glass of whatever, sweet tea, water, Coke, whatever it is, think about Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have the ability to drink that tea or that water or that Coke or Diet Coke for some of you that, you know, want to drink that stuff. You know, it's all because of Jesus. We need to remember what he's done. But, you know, I started thinking about this, you know, and in my life, the person that I remember the most or think about the most is my grandfather. Now, my grandfather, not only was my grandfather, he was my spiritual mentor, people call spiritual father. He's the one who taught me most everything that I know. But also, me and him had a unique relationship in the fact that in the latter part of his life, that it was my responsibility to basically take care of him. And, you know, I mean, I was his crusade director. We took care of him, you know, myself, really, and Rich King. You know, we took care of most of all his needs. Whatever he needed, we took care of. But we also were there, you know, and saw the way he acted and the way he carried himself and what he's done. And, you know, and people always say a lot of times that I remind them of him. And it's because that he's taught me everything I knew. And, you know, the way I live my life, it's because of the way he lived his life. And you know, I don't know how many times that, you know, going through things that it's interesting because if I remember about my grandfather and what he would say about a situation, he would always say, well, what does the word say? He always would go back to the word. And so understanding these disciples, they didn't have the word to go back to. All they had was their remembrance of Jesus. That's all they had. Now, we have the word to remind us about what Jesus did. I mean, we have several accounts of Jesus's life from different people, from different perspectives, you know, and so we get to see Jesus, you know, through the light of different people. And sometimes there are some stories that are in every one of the gospels. Sometimes, you know, might be in one or two of the gospels, but, you know, we can remember Jesus. But you know what? If you don't know somebody, you can't remember them. In order to remember somebody, you have to know them. Now, obviously, his disciples knew him. But do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Now, you know, it's one thing to know him, you know, as your Savior, but do you know him on a daily basis? Or do you just know him as he's just my ticket to heaven? Because that's how a lot of people know Jesus. They got saved, you know, maybe because somebody showed up at their town and got them saved, and so they got their ticket. And so, you know, what they do is a lot of times things that are important to us, you know, we put our ticket somewhere close to us and we carry our ticket around, but, you know, all they know is we got a ticket. We're you know, we got our ticket. But see, if you really knew Jesus, it was more than a ticket. It was a lifestyle. I mean, Jesus presented a lifestyle. And so I believe that Jesus was telling his disciples, Ray, remember what I've done. You know, what he was really saying was, remember what I'm going to do, but he was also, I believe, was telling them, hey, remember everything I've done. Remember how I carried myself. Remember how I spoke. Remember how what I did during the certain situations. You know, one thing about myself, I know exactly how my grandfather would deal with any situation. I mean, a lot of times here at the ministry, because of my responsibilities, there are times that we have a certain situation or somebody, you know, asks something or whatever. I know exactly how my parents will answer the question. Now, sometimes that's the way I would answer it. Sometimes it's not the way, you know, I wouldn't answer it, but I know how they'll answer it. So I know that their answer, but before it's asked. In fact, many times people will come and ask me what I thought about something because I know how my parents will think. Because I know how they think because I spend a lot of time with them. You know, and so I know exactly how they think. Now, sometimes I think differently. And so that's one way that I'm able to get things changed a lot of times because I know how they think and I know exactly what I can say to make them think differently. All right, and how, you know, and that kind of stuff. And see, if you know somebody well enough, then you know all these things. And I believe his disciples did know Jesus well enough to be able to remember him. But, you know, when it comes to, let's think about, there are certain things, you know, in history that you might know about, but you didn't really know that person. I mean, I think about John F. Kennedy. You know, I know a little bit, but very little about his presidency. I know more about his death because we're originally from Dallas, Texas, and his death happened in Dallas, and I visited the site where his death. Now, I don't know exactly what went on, okay? But don't say, oh, Craig's, you know, an expert on the conspiracy theory of John F. Kennedy's death. I don't know exactly about, you know, but I've seen the grassy knoll. You know, I've seen all that kind of stuff, you know, and I've read about it, and I've, you know, heard about it and things like that. So I know quite a bit about it, but you know what? The interesting part about it is I know only a few things about his presidency because I wasn't around. So I can't say I really know him. I know how he died. You know, and a lot of people know how Jesus died, but they don't really know Jesus. I mean, you know, they've seen the Easter plays. Or they might even know how Jesus was born because they've seen the Christmas plays. But do you really know Jesus? Because you can't really remember somebody you don't know. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you know what his death really meant? I mean, you know, we might know it was gory and it was gross and, you know, when he took stripes on his back and he bled like crazy and all those kind of things because, you know, you've seen the movies. But, you know, that's what happened, but that's not what it represented. What it represented was our life. His death was our life. And, you know, because he died, we can live. You know, and now, obviously, not only did he die, but he arose, and he does live today. That's why we get the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. But it's because of his death, burial, and resurrection. But that's just only one part of it. You know, how did he carry himself? You know, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. So that's what I point that out all the time. You know, the first thing that Jesus did, the most important thing is he did good. And you know, he was a good man. So, you know, us being Christians, followers of Christ, we should be good people. You know, I've never read in the Bible that Jesus was angry all the time. He was always griping at people. Never read that. Now, maybe about Peter might have been that way. You know, we kind of get that context that Peter might have been that way, but that's not how Jesus was. And Jesus always was trying to tell Peter, hey, don't be like that. Don't cut people's ears off. I mean, you know, watch your temper, control your temper. Now, the way we can be more like Jesus is we have to be more mindful of Jesus. So really, in order what we call having the mind of Christ is really remembering Jesus. That's having the mind of Christ. How did he act? What would he do? Now, the only way that we really know is for us to read the word. We have to know what the word says. Thus, my grandfather always says, what does the Bible say? What does the word say about it? And if you don't know the word, you can't act upon the word. Now, we talk about being doers of the word, and every time before I preach, I always pray about being a doer of the word. But you can't do something you don't know, and you can't remember Jesus if you don't know Jesus. Now, my grandfather always said this is the number one reason why people do not get their needs met or people do not get healed is because they do not know what the word says about their healing or about themselves. We have to know what the word says. And if you don't know what the word says, you don't know about Jesus. You don't know what he would do. You don't know how he would act. So the way we can remember him is to read about him, to study about him, to study about his nature, to study about how he acts and what he does. Now see, my grandfather, I was with him. I know how he acts. I know what he does. I know how he thinks. I wasn't with Jesus in person. Now he resides with me. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of me. All right, so I can know him not just by what I read, but having a relationship with him, having that Holy Spirit on the inside that leads me and guides me and shows me the way. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been facing a situation, whether it myself or whether with a church member or somebody else, you know, whenever they're going through a situation, and really, I didn't have the words to say, but on the inside, the words would come out. Now, sometimes the words were all a scripture that you know, that I may or may not have known, but I've obviously read the scripture at some point in time. He would bring it back to my remembrance, but he can't bring something back to your remembrance that you haven't studied. Now, my grandfather always said this, that, you know, once, you know, whenever, remember, he came off the deathbed, he was still in school. He was still in high school, so he went back to high school. And so once he, you know, got saved and once he knew better, that what he would do is he would study what he needed to study, and then he would pray, and I do this every time that I would take a test in school. He would pray, Lord, bring those things back to my remembrance, what I studied. But if he didn't study, he wouldn't remember anything. And so the reason that a lot of people don't know much about Jesus, because they haven't studied the word, they haven't read the word. And a lot of times that the only time things that we know is what somebody else has told us. And if you're only coming to church on Easter and Christmas, that's about all you know, is the Christmas story and the Easter story. You know the beginning and the end. Not really the end, because the end was the beginning for us. But you know, you know the when his life started, when he died. But you don't know what happened in the middle. You don't know what, but his disciples were with him during that middle. They saw him. And you know what? All that's been recorded. They saw all the miracles. You know, just thinking about the scripture, our keynote scripture here, about Jesus telling his disciples, that said, whoever speaks to this mountain. I mean, he was literally telling them, you know, to put your faith in God, to speak to your mountain, to speak to your, to whatever you're going through. Say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and have whatever you say. He taught them that example. And now, many times, you know, since then, obviously, many people that go against what, you know, what we believe, that they say, some people think Brother Hagin actually wrote Mark 11, 23, 24. But he didn't wrote it, he just read it. Yeah. And you know, if more of us would read the word, we could act upon the word. We can't be doers of something we don't know. And so we have to remember Jesus. We have to remember what he's done. You know, and it is interesting. One thing, and I guess I probably got it from my grandfather. My grandfather all the time, almost every day, multiple times a day, usually we're driving in the car or whatever, he would just say, thank you, Jesus, for no apparent reason. I do the same thing. I caught myself three times yesterday, just thanking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It wasn't because I was feeling sick. Wasn't because I was feeling bad. wasn't because I was feeling good. You know, because sometimes, you know, we usually thank Jesus when we feel bad or we feel good. You know, we thank Jesus, you know, because when we're feeling bad, we thank Jesus that he has healed us. Whenever something happens, like, you know, we go out and get a new car, we feel good and thank Jesus for providing us the finances to be able to pay for that car. You know, and actually, read another scripture here. I don't have too many scriptures today, but 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, another thing is kind of cool. Like I said, mom and dad, after they leave Athens, they're going to Thessalonica. And so it's just kind of cool whenever you're able to go to places that you read about. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know what? We should be thankful at all times about what Jesus has done for us. Not just on Communion Sunday. Not just at Christmas and Easter. You know, not just when we get a new car, or not just when we get healed, not just whenever, you know, things, you know, happen that are awesome. And, you know, we should be thankful in the good times and the bad times. It doesn't matter. We should always be thankful for what Jesus did. Everything he's done for us. I mean, we have what we have. We are who we are because of Christ. We have to know who we are in Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who you are in Christ. Who you are does not matter, because without Christ, you're a nobody. With Christ, you're an everybody. You know, it's kind of like a superhero without his superpowers. You know, you're kind of like Clark Kent when you're not in Christ. But whenever you become in Christ and know who you are in Christ, whenever you renew your mind, you become like Superman. Because you have, at any time, Clark Kent has the same superpower. He just stirs it up and becomes Superman. See, the anointing is always there. Everything is always there. You know, but sometimes you have to get to your phone booth, and that's a real thing for some of you who don't know what a phone booth is. I think later on they left, you know. For you, the older people, he used to go to a phone booth and change to Superman. You know, as the phone booth started going away, you know. And speaking of, if you want to see a relic, do you realize that we still have a payphone in this church? Some of you might, and it actually works. The other day I was walking by. I want to make sure I thought maybe it was just there. Mom didn't want to pull it off the wall because it would be a bunch of wires. But by the bookstore back there, we actually have a payphone. If you've never seen a payphone, go take a picture of it. You know, there is a payphone back there, and it actually does work. It has a dial tone. And someone said, "What's a payphone?" You have to Google that, all right? Or go back there and look at it, remembering the payphone. You know, but you have the power on the inside of you. You have the same anointing. You have the same spirit that Jesus had. He says, "The things that I do and greater things shall you do, because they go to the Father." And one of the things I think that he was trying to tell his disciples is, hey, remember all the directions and everything that I've told you. Because a lot of things didn't make sense to him until after he died. You realize, now we have the ability now that we know the rest of the story. We know that he died, and so we know what happened. So when we read those things, they make sense to us. But a lot of things didn't make sense. You know, well, I'm going to leave and send you another comforter and all these kind of things. But that didn't really make sense until he died and then went to the upper room and the Holy Spirit came down. I mean, they were like, okay, Jesus, whatever you're saying. Yeah, all right. I mean, even that this day, you know, the day of the Last Supper, they're probably wondering, what are you talking about? About your death. I mean, there's only one person that probably knew anything, and that was Judas. He's the only one that had some inside information. The rest of them were clueless. I mean, because see, here's the thing. If they knew it had to happen, then Peter wouldn't have cut the guy's ear off trying to protect Jesus. They would have gone, okay, yeah, guys, it's going to happen. Now, Jesus knew it had to happen. Nobody else knew. It was fulfilling prophecy. And we all, you know, because we also have the distinct privilege to read all the Old Testament as well. And you know, and they might have had some of the Old Testament, you know, but they didn't know what it really meant. You know, in fact, you know, the Jewish people, they're still looking for the Messiah. They're still waiting. They can't remember anything because, you know, Jesus came and he was a great guy, but he wasn't the one as far as they're concerned. They're still waiting. But we don't have to wait. We can remember. You know, and everything that we have is because we remember Jesus. Everything that we go through, we just remember Jesus. And we should remember him at all times. We should thank him at all times for what he's doing in our life. Not just at communion. And I really do think that a lot of Christians, not you guys, all right, I'm not saying you guys do, but I believe a lot of Christians only think about Jesus during special occasions. Easter, Christmas, when they take communion. Or maybe only think about Jesus when they come to church, which for a lot of people is not very often. I mean, you know, you've heard the term, people say, well, I'm Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. Well, there's a lot of non-denominational, Pentecostal, charismatic people that might be that, but they're not practicing. I mean, they're not coming to church, you know, and, you know, they're not doing some of the things they need to do. Now, if you get down to their core beliefs, you know, what they believe is right, but, you know, every once in a while they go to church or they remember Jesus. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to make it to heaven. I'm just saying they're probably not having as much fun on the earth as we are. Because one of the reasons we need to remember Jesus is for us to make it down here. I mean, we already know that in the sweet yonder, you know, in a short time, the sky's going to crack open and we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be dancing on streets of gold and have a wonderful time. Everything's going to be great then. We don't have to worry about it. But we have to remember Jesus when we're here, because you know what? The reason we have to remember Jesus is we have the devil himself and all his cohorts that are always coming down, trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. But we need to remember what Jesus did. We remember that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That Jesus died upon the cross. That he took the stripes on his back. We need to remember Jesus. And everything we have is because of Jesus. Everything we have. You know, and the thing about it is, it's because of Jesus that we can resist the devil. Because of him that we have his name. That at his name that demons have to tremble. We have his name to use. You know, basically, we were told to be a name dropper. We were not only told, we were given the authority to drop names. You know, there's a lot of people that drop names, and there are people that have authority to drop a name. Some people don't have that authority. You know, they act like, well, I know this person, that, there are a number of times people come and talk to me and they ask me, well, do you know this person? You know, and sometimes I do. So I'm like, well, I think they're my Facebook friend. But see, this guy thinks I'm this guy's best friend. I don't really know him. Maybe I've commented on some stuff on Facebook or whatever, but I don't know this guy. You know, but this guy talks like he knows me. But there are people that I know very well. You know, and I know them. You know, but two, like I said, if, you know, here at the ministry, you know, if you get what we call the LH, my mom's signature, it's like gold. You know, it means you have the authority to do whatever this piece of paper says. All right, and anyone who works this ministry knows what that means. You know, now, My signature is supposed to have the same effect, but it doesn't always do that. Even my dad's signature doesn't always do that. Now, sometimes people get in trouble because they don't do what I say, because I have the authority to put my signature there. All right? I have that authority. I've been given that authority. You know, but some people, they want my mom's signature because it's, they believe it's the ultimate authority in our ministry, you know. She's the one that controls all the money at the ministry. And so, you know, but, you know, her name carries authority. And a piece of paper with her initials on it means whatever this set paper says, you got to do it. It's the same way that if a judge signs a verdict, signs a piece of paper, whatever that judge says, it goes. The only way to change what this judge says is to go to a higher judge and get a higher authority. And the only way to ultimately is get, you know, go to the Supreme Court and get the highest authority. But praise God that we have the name of Jesus, which is the highest name, the greatest, and we have the authority to use the greatest name in history. That at that name, that demons, we're talking about devils have to leave. That's how powerful that name is. And we have the authority to use the name, and it's all because of what Jesus did and what we're remembering today. But don't just remember Jesus on special occasions. We should remember Jesus all year long, every day. Remember what he went through. You know, and there's been times in my life and I've actually came to the realization, I'm like, you know what? Jesus didn't suffer and die for me to have to go through this. And the only reason I'm going through this or going through this situation is because I'm not remembering what he did. I'm not remembering what's been given to me. I'm not remembering, so we need to remember more. You know, and sometimes, you know, and I've heard this, as we get older, some people confess that they're losing their memory. Well, that's a bad confession. Because if you're losing your memory, you can't remember Jesus. You know, and so, and why would you say something that you don't want to have? Because we know here more than anywhere else that we can have what we say. So maybe if you're having trouble remembering things, instead of saying I'm losing my memory, you should say, you know what, my memory is getting better every day. Yeah. Speak what you want. Not what, you know, it's not about the facts, it's about where your faith is. What do you believe? And you know, we should remember more. Just remember. Remember Jesus on a daily basis. Remember how he lived his life. You know, like I said, we went about doing good, preaching, teaching, healing. You know, I try to be a light to the world. Because I realize, and I know we've heard this, that you're the only Jesus some people will ever see. But you know, there are a lot of people that are tainted by what they believe and the way they believe that Christians act. Most Christians act judgmental. All right? But Jesus never did. As far as I can read in the disciples, he was always loving. He was the one who said, turn the other cheek. He's the one that says, keep forgiven 70 times 7. He's the one, he always had love, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. But a lot of us don't have that. So you need to remember Jesus. You know, when you have an opportunity to get angry and to get upset, remember Jesus. When you have an opportunity to say something mean or something rude to somebody, you know, and I get it. Well, you say, well, yeah, but they deserve it. You know what? But we're having communion here. We're talking about that we got what we didn't deserve. Just because someone deserves something doesn't mean we need to give it to them. Jesus never gave us what we deserved. He always went beyond. Maybe in life we don't deserve a lot. But it's not about what we deserve. It's about what we've got. We've got grace and mercy and forgiveness. compassion. You know, and it is interesting. A lot of times, sometimes whenever I get my worst service at a restaurant, I might leave my biggest tip. Not because, I'm not leaving a tip because of their service. I'm leaving a tip because you know, showing love and mercy and compassion, you know. Because maybe I got bad service because they thought they knew or thought I was a Christian. No, most people, because I go to the same restaurants all the time, so most of the time when I go to a restaurant, people want to go to my table because they know that I'm a nice person. Because I carry myself like a nice person. Because I try to be like Jesus was. He was a nice person. And, you know, but we should be the same. One way to remember Jesus is, you know, is to talk about him, to act like him, to be like him, you know, because we are Christians, we're Christ-like. So I just want to remind you every day to remember Jesus. Remember him with your life. Remember him with the way you live your life. Remember him with the way you act, the way you are. Remember him in the good times and the bad times. Remember what he's done for you. Remember, you know what, it might not look good, but you're going to get through this because you have Jesus. Like I said, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you. He's right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, to help us remember what Jesus did more often. Not just on communion days, not just on Easter, not just on Christmas. We thank you that help us to remember your son and everything he's told us, everything that we've learned through reading the Bible. We thank you, Father, that we'll remember who we are in Christ Jesus. We'll remember what Jesus did in our life. We'll remember how he acted. And Father, we help us to just remember him. But Father, we thank you if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, that's never met Jesus, and so they can't remember somebody they don't know. So if there's anyone here this morning that never has asked Jesus to become their Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you know Jesus. If you're here this morning, you say, Craig, I've never been saved. I've never asked him to become Lord and Savior of my life. And I want to this morning because I can't remember somebody I don't know. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, at one time I knew Jesus, I walked with him, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away and I can't remember him anymore. But I want to remember him again. If you're here this morning, you want to rededicate your life to God. You want to lift your hand, we want to pray with you across this auditorium. Anyone here that says, I'm here, I want to rededicate my life to God, or I want to be saved for the very first time. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, that they will be saved. We thank you, Father, for their salvations. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.